Okay, we'll see how my voice holds up tonight. And if I start to have any coughing fits, I'll just say I'm not even going to try to finish. We'll just be done at that point, and we'll call it a night. So that doesn't mean any of you can be wishing for an early coughing fit. So tonight, my purpose is pretty straightforward. It's just to encourage us to allow our hearts and our lives to be fertile ground in which the Spirit can grow the fruit of faithfulness in our lives. We're continuing to talk about the fruit of the Spirit that we see listed in Galatians chapter 5, specifically verses 22 and 23. Let's get the context of that section there. Galatians 5, starting at verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. Says there, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So each night we've been talking about these different fruit of the Spirit. And what we've been saying about them, just as a reminder, is that as Christians, we allow our lives to be a place, a space in which the Holy Spirit grows, cultivates its fruit in our lives. It doesn't mean when we are converted, when we become Christians, we have just arrived. In truth, the Spirit does its work in our lives as we mature as Christians. And tonight we're specifically going to be talking about that fruit called faithfulness. So the other day I received a phone call, and it was one of those weird ones. On the caller ID, it said unknown. So you know, like, should I answer it? Should I not? Well, I went ahead and answered it. And here's what it said. It kind of said blah, blah, blah. Not exactly blah, 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 but essentially blah, blah, blah. But then it said, and my ears peaked at this point, it said, remain on the line, and at the end of this phone call, we'll give you a voucher for a free cruise. Okay, I'm all for free stuff, especially free cruises. But just as quickly as I thought, that sounds awesome, I thought something else. This is a scam. And so I allowed probably the common sense to do its work, and I went ahead and just hung up. I did not wait on the line. But why is it that my mind so quickly jumped to thinking, this is a scam, this is not real? We think about it, all around us, we are getting messages that aren't very dependable, right? Eat this food and you'll lose 20 pounds, or drink this shake and you'll lose 20 pounds. Do this exercise, take this supplement, and you will have huge muscles overnight. We've seen those before and after pictures, and the one, it's like really dark lighting and just real drab, you know, and then the next picture, it's like super bright and oiled up. We know what we're talking about here. But do this exercise and you'll build huge muscles overnight, or use this product and you'll instantly be prettier and everybody is going to desire to be around you, right? We hear these messages and we know them to be untrue. And so we are continually asking this kind of question, or at least I am. What's the fine print, right? I want to see the fine print on what it is you're trying to communicate to me. What does this product really cost? What am I really signing up for? There's always fine print. So we have these issues of dependability. Can we believe this message or not? Some of the reason that we have this issue of dependability, think about it. We've had presidents just in the recent history that have lied just blatantly for all America to see, right? That causes dependability issues. We had a baseball player, someone that I looked up to, just big time, looked right at the camera and he said, I am not taking steroids. when in fact he was taking steroids? Or how about a world-renowned cyclist from this very city who said, I am not taking HGHs or HGH. And now, of course, those trophies are no longer his because, in fact, he was involved in that. Lied through his teeth. We have government officials that have said, we didn't mishandle funds. We didn't know about that money. When some digging happened, sure enough, they knew about that money. It was in their bank accounts, right? We see this all around us. And so you can see why we have issues of believing people at times. It's hard to trust people in our world because of these different issues that have gone on. So the fruit of the Spirit, mentioned in Galatians 5:22, it says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. I believe the faithfulness that we see here listed is more like dependability and trustworthiness than it is talking about the faith, like believing in things that we cannot see. And I'll try to kind of make that case as we move through this lesson tonight. It's more like Jesus' words, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Part of the reason I believe that is if you look at the other fruit of the Spirit, it has to do with sort of the ethical dimension of life, right? Peace, patience, kindness. And that's what we see with faithfulness, too. We're talking about ethics here, the way that we treat people, the way that we orient our lives so that we can allow God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be at work in our lives. And so one shows faithfulness to God and others through keeping their word or their pledge. It's about having your yes be yes and your no, no. And in fact, we see the attribute of faithfulness in God himself. Remember, we just sang about it as a matter of fact. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's look at a few passages that talk about God's faithfulness. Or we could say God's trustworthiness or his dependability. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 is the first passage. We're going to look at two passages from the New Testament and one from the Old Testament. Talks about God's faithfulness. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it starts off and says, God is faithful to his word. He will forgive his children when they have confessed their sins. You can take it to the bank. It's rooted in God's nature. It's his promise to his children. Those who have given their lives to Christ upon confessing sin, God is faithful. He will forgive them. He will purify them. The second passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This is a passage that I memorized in youth group, and perhaps you did as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So God is faithful to his children and that he won't let us drown in temptation. This is the promise of his strength, perhaps his wisdom, his presence in the life of believers, specifically regarding the issue of dealing with temptation. And again, you can take this to the bank. It's a promise. It's rooted in God's nature. Here it comes. All right, Psalm 86 and verse 11. Really, at some point you might want to take a moment to read all through Psalm 86 because it's really all about God's love and faithfulness. But we're just going to look at this one passage from here. It's Psalm 86, verse 11. It says there, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. So the psalmist asks for God's teaching so that he can rely on God's faithfulness. To rely on God's faithfulness, I believe, means to see God as the true source of life. God is the source of life who heals and rescues and guides and corrects. We need God's faithfulness. The psalmist longs for God's faithfulness. He desires to know it. And then look at the second part of verse 11. Yeah, I'm not going to last very much longer. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm going to have a. I don't want to get into detail here, but I'm going to have a hacking fit here in just a second. So, tell you what, we're going to be done for tonight. I apologize for that. If I say 10 more words, it's going to be done for. We'll pick back up with faithfulness next Sunday night, and then we'll jump into gentleness, and we'll kind of talk about both of those. But I apologize. I cannot go any longer. So, if there's anybody here that needs the prayers of this assembly, you know what to do. Daryl is going to lead us in singing.